We now bring to these microphones David James, and I'm talking about a traveling David James. Every single week we get together for a conversation, and I have to figure out where in the world is David James. Well, he's been in Hungary this last week. He's in Bulgaria right now. David, you're out there, and in fact, you lived in Hungary for about 16 years, and you've been teaching there this past week at the Word of Life Bible Institute, and now you're going to be a couple of days in Bulgaria, which now brings me to the place where I want to talk to you in our conversation this week about what is happening. You're right in the middle in what has become a flashpoint for the current immigration crisis there in Europe. And I want to know what you've been able to see and hear while you've been on the ground. Talk to us.
Well, yes, I've been in Hungary, and you're right. It has been a flashpoint. A lot of people were using Hungary as a migration point from Syria and Afghanistan and some of those war-torn places coming up through southern Europe, passing through Hungary in an attempt to get to Western Europe. And what I've been hearing is that a lot of the Hungarians have actually been welcoming them, again, because they've just been passing through. I was talking with one person who lives here or lives in Hungary just a couple of days ago, and they said that Hungarians were actually buying food, and some of these immigrants were eating better than even a lot of Hungarians do. So it's a really interesting situation. Hungary just finished a border, completing a fence on its southern border, and different countries are trying to determine whether to close their borders, but it's a very confusing situation.
I imagine it is. Well, you know, many people think that Europe actually was the cradle of Christian civilization, and for many decades, it was generally known that that was the case. But now, they've moved into what has to be termed as a post-Christian type of existence. And I thought it'd be very important that you might explain to those eavesdropping on the conversation, what does post-Christian means and how did this all happen there in Europe?
Well, not only was Europe the Christian of Christian civilization, but as time went by and the Enlightenment came through and people began looking at the scientific method, and Charles Darwin came up with his ideas, and humanism began to take root, people began to move away from the idea that there was even a need for God if they could explain the world around them apart from God. And so they tended to simply abandon Christianity. And in fact, I was just reading that Islam is growing faster by quite a bit than Christianity here in Europe.
Now, concerning this current crisis, Hungary has been, as we've said, right at the center. You were just there this last week. How many refugees are we talking about? And again, rehearse for us where they're coming from.
There have been at least 500,000 that have passed through, and some of them continue to remain in Hungary, but the majority of them are trying to pass through to especially Germany and Sweden. And I read that over 54% of those immigrants are actually fleeing the fighting in Syria. A good number have made it all the way over from Afghanistan. And this is another interesting, and I would say a very troubling statistic. In any given population around the world, roughly 50% would be men and 50% would be women. But of these refugees, fully close to 70% are men, with fewer than 20% being women. So this is not just a migration of a general population. This seems to be an intent on moving a male population out of the Mideast into Europe, and there's got to be a reason for that very large discrepancy.
Now, from my vantage point here in America, David, it appears that Islamic State is trying to take advantage of these waves of migrants going into Europe. You're on the ground there. Talk to me. How big of a problem is this?
Well, I was reading the estimate of one expert who, an analysis that was given, and the estimate was that perhaps as many as 2% of the immigrants were actually embedded ISIS fighters. Now, they're estimating that maybe by the time this is over, at least 1 million will be passing into Europe. And if you take 2% of 1 million, that means that there could be as many as 20,000 ISIS, embedded ISIS fighters spread out through Europe. That is a massive force. And even if they would come together in splinter cells of even 100 or 200 each, we're talking about the potential for massive damage if they decide to actually act upon their plans to establish a caliphate. They're already leaving graffiti in different places around Europe saying that the caliphate is here.
Wow. You know, many talk about radical Muslims hijacking Islam for their own purposes, but is that really the right way to look at this?
Well, I would say it's actually not. You know, it's the political pundits and the media try to put across that line that it's the radicals who are hijacking Islam. I would put it this way, that it's actually the moderates who hijack Islam for the purpose of trying to live in peace. And what we're seeing happen in its most extreme forms of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they're the ones who are actually the most faithful to the teachings of the Quran. So they're just living out what the Quran teaches, and the moderates are trying to live in peace and trying to put forth that face. And also I've seen that even though there may be a relatively small percentage who are engaged with jihad, that as many as 20 to 25% of all Muslims worldwide are at least sympathetic to the idea of Sharia law. And since there's over a billion Muslims in the world, that means that fully a group that's larger than the entire population of the United States is at least sympathetic with the idea of the institution of Sharia law.
Now, David, when I teach Islam and I have a message, Ishmael's Islamic Invasion, where I go into somewhat of an explanation about Islam, I talk about a principle or one of their pillars that is called abrogation. This is critical to understanding how many Muslims view the Quran, is it not?
Well, that's true, and a lot of non-Muslims don't understand this. See, the Quran is not put together in chronological order. It's put together in the order of from the longest to the shortest of the chapters. And what they believe is that the parts of the Quran that were revealed to Muhammad by the Archangel Gabriel, at least that's what they claim, obviously that didn't happen, but the ones that were given later actually supersede and cancel out the ones that come earlier. So the ones that they say were earlier, the ones that talk about being at peace with people of the book, which would be Jews and Christians, and the ones that talk about killing the Jews and Christians, that those were given later, and therefore those are the ones that supersede, take place of those that were given earlier. So actually the Quran is promoting violence according to the way it's interpreted by many imams.
You know, there's some reports out of Europe, David, indicating that there are certain areas in some cities that have actually become quite dangerous for non-Muslims to visit, even referred to as no-go zones. Is this a real problem, or is it the media just blowing this out of proportion?
Well, just a little bit ago, before you called, I was reading an article based out of France, and they were actually saying that the French media is saying that the police and the general public should not be going at all under the threat of they might be killed, even going into some of the suburbs of French cities. And I've also heard that the same thing is true in places in the United Kingdom, where that those neighborhoods have actually declared themselves as Sharia zones, and that Sharia law actually takes precedent over the laws of the land. So what this is doing is it's undermining the national sovereignty of all these nations, and it's going to happen in every nation where Islam begins to get this foothold.
Okay, now, thus far in our conversation, we've been talking about Islamic peoples coming into Europe. Is it reasonable to talk about the Islamization of Europe, or is that just an exaggeration?
It's definitely not an exaggeration. In fact, what is happening is there are, in many places, there are more mosques that are opening than churches. And in fact, in some cases, a lot of historic churches are actually being turned into mosques. So there's definitely an Islamization of Europe, and it's estimated that as much as 35% of Europe might be Muslim, I think it's by the year 2030. So this is not an exaggeration at all.
Okay, let's conclude our conversation because time's just about to run out. How would you respond to those who try to argue that Muslims are worshiping the God of Abraham and that Christians are worshiping the same God? How would you respond?
That's just simply not true. The God of the Bible came, the God-man Christ Jesus, and he did that because he loved people and to redeem us. The God of Islam, Allah, is a capricious God that does not have a personal relationship with mankind, and they say that God has no son. So they deny the deity of Christ, they deny that he was crucified on the cross and he died for our sins. Allah is not the God of the Bible.
Amen and amen. And of course, that's where we come down. What does God's word say about this religiosity and all of life's issues? That's what we do when we have a conversation, David James and myself, here on Prophecy Today. We come down on what God's word says to help us understand all the controversial issues that are facing us today. David, have a safe trip. You're there in Bulgaria. I want to hope to be able to talk to you when you get back to the States, and we'll continue these conversations. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good to be with you.